Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Nature's Remedies for Stress and Fatigue, Recovering from Burnout, by Joe Dunbar, narrated by Christine Rendell. Part 1. How Stress Affects Your Body. Chapter 1. What is Chronic Fatigue? This is a book about chronic fatigue, not the normal everyday tiredness that everyone has from time to time, but a deep, bone-aching exhaustion which is not alleviated by sleep, lasts for months or years, and affects almost every aspect of a person's life. This largely unrecognized syndrome is estimated to affect between 17 and 24 million people in the world, and the numbers are growing. One of the reasons chronic fatigue is often unrecognized is that there is no definitive laboratory test to identify it. In our modern-day usage, chronic has taken on the meaning of severe, but in medical parlance, it actually means ongoing, long-term, or recurring. Additionally, the word syndrome refers to a group of symptoms which tend to occur together but have no identifiable cause, as opposed to a disease which has clearly defined causation. Without a visible wound or a blood test result to confirm diagnosis, the sufferer of long-term fatigue can feel as if their condition is not being taken seriously by others, who simply can't understand why they find day-to-day living so hard. Furthermore, without a basic understanding of why they are ill, there is no clear pathway to recovery. This book aims to give you some understanding as to why you may feel so unwell, discussing several causes of chronic fatigue, and what can be done to regain your robust health once again. Our understanding of this condition is incomplete, and no doubt more will be uncovered in the coming years. But I shall endeavour to tell you what the most recent research shows, and how to combat some of the main underlying causes, based on my 25 years of experience helping people to recover from this illness using plant medicines and lifestyle changes. A note on CFS/ME. I will not be writing specifically about chronic fatigue syndrome, CFS, or myalgic encephalomyelitis, ME. Although what I discuss may very well be chronic fatigue syndrome or ME. The problem is that while there are several theories, no one can point to a clear underlying cause for CFS or ME. There are lists of associated symptoms, but these are often interchangeable with other illnesses, such as Lyme disease or a low thyroid state. So, instead, I have chosen to write about what I believe are the major underlying causes of chronic fatigue syndrome /ME. But instead of using this terminology, I will simply refer to the condition of chronic fatigue. Our overbusy lives. In my experience of treating CFS/ME, a significant number of cases develop out of the more extreme end of adrenal fatigue. Please note that adrenal fatigue is not the same as adrenal insufficiency, the extreme end of that being Addison's disease, which appears to be the only form of poor adrenal function that doctors recognize, apart from tumors. Also known as burnout, or TAT, tired all the time. Most of the patients I see are suffering from adrenal fatigue to some degree, although not everyone I see is suffering from CFS/ME. Many are professional people, living ordinary lives, and yet feel as if they are dragging themselves around. They may experience recurrent chest infections, from which they have difficulty recovering, have almost constant mouth ulcers, frequent cold sores, a bloated stomach, difficulty conceiving, and generally feel exhausted and debilitated. When we are stressed, there is an overstimulation of our central nervous system, which triggers the adrenal glands to release the hormones that help us deal with said stress. This is normal and entirely appropriate, except that in the current social environment within which we live, the stimulation is relentless, and our minds and bodies are becoming overwhelmed. When I see people with chronic fatigue and ask them about their lives prior to the illness, there was always one or several normal life stressors which just went on and on. Whilst, unfortunately, it is rather normal to get used to these symptoms, we were not designed to live in this constant state of overload. We were never meant to live like this. After millions of years of evolution, during which we were very slowly adapting our habits, we finally evolved into Homo sapiens around 200,000 years ago. We lived in tribes with a sense of community, mutual support, and accountability to the group. We were in tune with the natural rhythms of the earth and moved at a human pace. Of course, living naturally had its stresses, but those were usually short and sharp, being attacked by a raiding party from another clan, for example, or having to deal with a hungry predator. The stressful event would be dramatic, sometimes deadly, but it is not prolonged. The emergency passes, and if they're lucky, they live to tell the story to the other members of the tribe. They are not alone in their world. Their stress is recognized, shared, and importantly, is not a daily occurrence. This is how we evolved to live over hundreds of thousands of years. Then suddenly, in the last few centuries, there was a dramatic acceleration in learning, industrialization, and technology. In our modern-day lives, typically, we aren't being attacked on a daily basis by men with spears, and yet we are being subjected to almost continual low-grade alarms, to meet targets, to race back to the car to avoid a parking fine, to get the kids to school on time, to remember to pick up food for dinner. We are also silently dealing with the stresses of others, not in our immediate vicinity, with images of wars and starvation on other continents filling our news feeds and drip-feeding terror into our subconsciousness. Coping with unrelenting stress is extremely energy-consuming. Small wonder that so many people are tired all the time. From an evolutionary and biological perspective, our bodies are still entrenched in ancient patterns, and they're really struggling to keep up with our radically changed lifestyles. So while our technology and brains are zooming ahead, our mental, emotional, and physical bodies are strained to near breaking point. We no longer live at a human pace, and our bodies were never designed to live under such relentless stress. Just like a rock subjected to pressure over time, eventually it will give way and break into pieces. Likewise, people can survive and function with chronic stress for years, and sometimes all it takes is one major or even seemingly minor life event to tip you into a long-term debilitating illness. Quite often, the internal cracks are not recognized until we actually collapse. Fatigue is not depression. Before long COVID, There was a predilection for treating unknown fatigue as depression, or worse. Having worked with chronic fatigue for many years, however, I have never met a patient who developed chronic fatigue because of depression. Instead, many developed some degree of depression because of chronic fatigue and the difficulties associated with living with this largely unrecognized illness. Not only does chronic fatigue significantly impair your ability to earn a living and to express yourself creatively, but in these high cost of living days, you can imagine that spouses soon become dismayed at the diminished second income, and caring for their partner can also take its toll, mentally, emotionally, and physically. This can make for dark days in the home, and as far as I can tell, the mainstream medical profession has nothing to offer the sufferer besides antidepressants. Complementary medicine tends to take a more holistic view, considering the mental, emotional, physical, and sometimes spiritual aspects of a person's life. Medical herbs and nutritional supplements have actions that pharmaceutical drugs don't, and vice versa. So instead of an us-and-them approach, I believe they can work together, and that integrated medicine is the way forward. Sometimes, antidepressants can give the patient the mental stability needed to even begin the work of recovery. While I treat patients with chronic fatigue, I hold in mind that the body knows exactly what to do to heal itself. It is central to holistic medicine that we, the practitioners, simply provide the tools for the body to do what it does best: keep us alive. I also take comfort in the fact that herbs and humans have evolved together over the millennia. They know each other. Our bodies recognize the herbal constituents, and together they are far wiser than I can ever be. So I provide the tools for the body, and the body does the repairing. My job is to try to work out which tools the body needs. Chapter 2. The Physiology of Stress. Stress is something we all feel from time to time, but when it is relentless, the body eventually buckles under the strain. In order to understand how stress affects the body, we need to examine the physiology of stress. What actually happens inside our cells when we become stressed? Once we understand this, we can have a much clearer idea of how to repair the damage. When we register or anticipate a stressful situation, the brain immediately sends an urgent message of alarm to the sympathetic nervous system, SNS, which responds by instigating a series of physiological and hormonal changes in the body that will prepare it to face whatever threat is imminent. Within seconds of the alarm being raised, the SNS sends impulses to the adrenal glands, which immediately release stress hormones into the bloodstream. One of these is adrenaline, also known as epinephrine, the body's short-term response to stress, which signals to the body to increase blood glucose levels, raise blood pressure and heart rate, dilate airways to raise oxygen levels, dilate blood vessels to enhance oxygenation of the muscles, while constricting blood vessels to organs which are non-essential at the time of danger, and increasing mental alertness and shortening reaction times. If, however, the stress is ongoing, then the stress response becomes mediated by the hormone cortisol. To prepare your body for long-term stress survival, cortisol will trigger the release of glucose for quick available energy, reduce inflammation, which helps recovery from injury, down-regulate the immune system, and constrict blood vessels, possibly to reduce blood loss in times of injury, and to keep our blood pressure up so that we don't pass out. When these hormones reach the brain, it responds by continuing to send the alarm messages to the SNS and the adrenal glands. Thus, a cycle of alarm continues until the person's brain perceives a reason to calm down. This is what's called fight or flight, or the acute stress response, and it is perfectly healthy and life-saving, but only for occasional, short periods of time. Once the brain registers that the emergency is over, it sends a message of all is well to the nervous system by flicking over to the restful parasympathetic nervous system, PNS. Most of us live in a highly stressful world, which results in us secreting far more adrenaline and cortisol than we were ever meant to, and this can have a detrimental effect on our health. Moreover, with repeated or constant stress, the adrenal glands have to secrete adrenaline and cortisol on such a frequent basis that it barely gives any time for their recovery. Gas and homeostasis. In the 1930s, Dr. Hans Selye, an eminent endocrinologist from Hungary, coined the term stress to describe the body's reaction to alarm. He observed that whatever the cause of stress, our bodies will go to every necessary length to maintain homeostasis within the cellular environment in order to preserve life, and that there was a predictable and observable pattern to this response, which Dr. Selye called General Adaption Syndrome, or GAS. Homeo, meaning the same, and stasis, meaning long period without change. So homeostasis means staying the same over an extended period of time. Dr. Selye divided the body's response to stress into three stages: alarm, resistance, and exhaustion. Stage 1. Alarm. Alarm is registered. The mind/body recognizes the danger and instantly prepares to survive with the fight-or-flight response. This is occurring at both a conscious and subconscious level in the brain and the cells. The internal environment is on high alert, but coping very well. You are on it. This is the stage which our caveman ancestors experienced as surprise, fear, and anger when, for example, their hunting party was attacked by a rival clan. If they survived the experience, they returned home, knowing they were once again safe. This stage is normally short-lived, and the homeostasis within the cells rapidly recovers, with little impact on short or long-term health. These temporary periods of alarm are entirely normal and contribute to the excitement of life. As we all know, however, our modern lives are very different to those of our ancestors. We experience these short-term shocks, albeit to a milder degree, at least several times a week, if not many times in a day. For the body to marshal these resources of survival, it is important to bear in mind that a great deal of energy is required. Stage 2. Resistance. If the stressful situation has not been resolved, the body learns to adapt to this state of affairs. At this stage, there is no outward sign of danger to health, but the body is working so hard to maintain homeostasis that it is not able to fully recover. Because the adrenal glands produce higher than normal levels of cortisol, the immune system starts to flag, which means the body becomes more susceptible to infection. Sleep quality is poorer because of the raised cortisol, which means rest and recovery is less likely, and the adrenal glands become markedly fatigued. It is quite likely that in this stage, the person is completely unaware that they are struggling, or, more likely, they have learned not to take any notice. This is the point at which people often lean on caffeine and sugar for energy. And yet, the stimulant effect of the caffeine flogs the adrenal glands even harder. The person's reserves are already at breaking point, and the caffeine, repeated alarm reaction and sugar stimulation push their resources to the brink. Every stress leaves an indelible scar, and the organism pays for its survival after a stressful situation by becoming a little older. Dr. Hans Selye. Stage 3. Exhaustion. At some point, the person realizes they can no longer keep going, and that something is very wrong. To have reached this stage, the stress would have been prolonged, and the effects of trying to survive have stacked up to unsustainable proportions. The body's resources have become just about depleted. The immune system is weak, and the adrenal glands are debilitated and not managing to maintain optimal cortisol levels. The person is unable to resist or cope with stress. By this stage, we would say the person has hit the wall. They feel exhausted, irritable, depressed and tearful, are unable to fight off minor infections such as colds, and so become repeatedly ill. Recovery from these illnesses also takes longer each time. Their muscles may be painful, and they are unable to think clearly. This is what is commonly called adrenal fatigue syndrome. It does not describe normal run-of-the-mill fatigue and demands a lifestyle change. Adrenal fatigue symptom checklist. Adrenal hormonal levels can be checked using private laboratory tests, which are usually arranged by a health practitioner. But this symptom checklist is a good start. Have a look at the following lists of symptoms and identify those that apply to you. If you find you have ticked several symptoms, especially at least one in each category, there is a possibility that you may be suffering from adrenal fatigue. Sleeping and waking. I have difficulty getting out of bed in the morning. I often don't feel fully awake for hours. I wake up feeling as tired as I did when I went to bed. I have difficulty falling asleep at night. I feel tired all day, but suddenly feel wide awake and wonderful after 11 p.m. I fall asleep, but wake frequently during the night. Mental and emotional. My brain feels foggy and I cannot concentrate on what I am doing. I have difficulty staying focused on conversations. I feel extra sensitive to noise and light. I frequently have headaches. I cannot cope with any stress. I either want to hide or I become very intolerant. I feel as if I want to avoid people, even friends. I just want to be alone. I can feel tearful for no reason. I can't cope anymore. I am not ill because I am depressed. I am depressed because I am ill. I have irrational flashes of anger, which I know are unreasonable, but I can't seem to help myself. Physical. I feel bone-achingly tired all the time. This is not a normal tiredness. Everything I do takes so much effort. My mind is willing, but my body just won't do it. My muscles ache. My muscles feel very weak and tender. Wounds take a long time to heal. I cannot regulate my temperature. I urinate a lot. I feel shaky inside. I feel cold or tender over the kidney area in my back. If I do anything, it can take an extraordinary amount of time to recover. Reproduction. I have lost my sex drive. My premenstrual symptoms have got worse. I cannot conceive. Food and digestion. I often crave sugar, salt, or caffeine. I can wake in the night with a terrible thirst or hunger. I regularly get the feeling that I just have to eat. My stomach frequently feels bloated and gassy. My food remains undigested, like a brick in my stomach. I often feel nauseous. Immune system. I have never quite recovered from a viral infection. I get colds all the time and find it difficult to recover. I never get ill. I just never feel well. I have frequent mouth ulcers or cold sores. I often have swollen glands in my neck. I have developed multiple allergies. I frequently have a sore throat. Circulatory system. I am often dizzy when I stand up. I have heart palpitations even when resting. My limbs are often very cold. I often have blue legs. When I treat chronic fatigue, I will always treat the adrenal glands as well as the nervous system, the immune system, and, highly likely, the reproductive, thyroid, and digestive systems too. Before we move on to what you can do about this disease, let us examine the effects that stress has on the health of some of our body systems. How stress makes us ill. Our understanding of the effects of stress on our physiology is still pretty rudimentary. However, by simply examining the effects of one stress hormone, cortisol, and the overstimulation of the nervous system, we can start to see just how devastating the effects of stress can be to our health and well-being. Stress affects the adrenal glands. As Hans Selye outlined in the early part of the last century, when stress hits us, we tend to be knocked off course for a short period. At that time, the adrenal glands secrete lots of adrenaline and cortisol, which helps us to cope with the situation. The immune system is in fact stimulated, and very soon we gather ourselves together and get on with our lives. However, as we've discussed, if the stress becomes prolonged, the adrenal glands are compelled to continue secreting cortisol and adrenaline. After some time, the glands become fatigued. They cannot maintain this level of high alert. Once fatigued, the adrenal glands will produce less and less cortisol. At this point, the person feels that they cannot cope with any more stress. And this is because they are right. Their body, physiologically, can no longer cope with the stress. If the stress persists, the adrenal glands valiantly oblige by secreting what little cortisol they are able to manufacture. Eventually, the person develops adrenal fatigue, also known as adrenal exhaustion, burnout, or what was once called neurasthenia. This condition is characterized by body pain, mental and physical exhaustion, a feeling of brain fog, and a strong aversion to stimuli or stress of any kind, among other symptoms. Healthy adrenal glands will secrete a sharp peak of cortisol within half an hour of waking in the morning. This should give us the get up and go that we need for the day ahead. The levels of cortisol drift down during the day, so that they are very low in the evening when we prepare for bed and rest. If you measure the cortisol levels of severely fatigued...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?